Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 here on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're out at Duncan today in Franklin at 1306 Murfreesboro Road. Al's still hanging around. Al's over here. I think he's on his fourth drink. He's got some donuts going on. It's a lot of stuff going on over here. What'd you get, Al?
We got like an iced kind of – what do we got going on here? Let's...
Zero energy. There we go. Dunkin' okay. Zero sugar energy. That's good stuff there.
Yeah.
Nice. Al's hanging out. We got a lot of people coming through the door, so just come on out here at 1306 Murfreesboro Road at Dunkin'. It is the grand opening celebration today. So we're going to be out here all morning long. Come on out. Say hi. Grab a donut. Grab a coffee. We'll be out here throughout the show this morning. Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider coming up at 7:30 on the program today. So looking forward to that. Joe, the draft is a month away, so still a lot of draft talk to get through over the next month here. It's interesting, the conversation right now on the Ty Simpson front. So, apparently, you know, Orlovsky got on ESPN yesterday and said that he thinks Ty Simpson is going to be the best quarterback in the class. Mike Tannenbaum took to Twitter after that and said that in talking to other clubs that this opinion is shared by other teams as well. I've already given that as my hot take, so I think Orlovsky and Tannenbaum are stealing from me. But what do you make of the momentum that seems to be growing and out there for Ty Simpson, who it's going to be very fascinating to see where he ends up going in the draft?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you think about, like, momentum for something like this, and you think about draft time, misinformation. I mean, there are a lot of teams that would absolutely love, you know, for Ty Simpson to be so coveted that he would move up and someone would be able to trade back because someone really wants Ty Simpson. But, I mean, this is, you know, it's Orlovsky. I mean, it's, you know, Orlovsky, pretty clear from, like, early on with him watching, like, Mendoza tape that he wasn't, like, overwhelmed.
He's not a huge Mendoza guy.
Yeah, you know. So, I don't think that there's – I think Mendoza was really good and he played for – a juggernaut of a team, of course, the Indiana Hoosiers, who you would expect to be a complete juggernaut, just completely take over the world and dominate and win the national championship. But no, I think it's close. And again, to me, it does not appear to be the case. I was wondering just about the back, because again, if you're having to get epidurals before games and stuff like that, it's like, okay, what does that mean long term? But apparently, that checks out fine. And again, Simpson, before he got hurt, he was probably the Heisman front runner for a little bit in there. And, you know, Alabama just wasn't all that good this year. I mean, look at the gap between their two teams. That game was not a reflection of the quarterbacks. That game was a reflection of the two teams, you know, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Again, because we're talking about Indiana Hoosiers and Alabama Crimson Tide, but, I mean, that's what it was. So it's very interesting. You know, meanwhile, I'm looking at our guy, now granted, this is a few days ago, but our guy, Nick Baumgartner's mock does not have Simpson going in the first round. I mean, I think he's definitely going to go in the first round.
I'll be stunned if he does.
He also, by the way, has this. I don't know that I've seen this combination of Mendoza, Reese, Bailey to the Cardinals, Sonny Styles to the Titans. What do you think about that one, huh? And then Love falling to seven. But you know, it's another month of debating Jeremiah Love. Aiden, as we're driving in here, he's a proponent of Jeremiah Love.
Like a lot of people are.
A lot of people are, and I get it. I mean, I understand giving Cam Ward a weapon, having someone who really moves the needle offensively as an offensive weapon. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all. He just needs to be, if you're going to do it, he needs to be special.
Yeah.
He's going to be good, but is he special?
Yeah, and that's the – I mean, same thing with Sonny Styles too, right, though? If you're taking Sonny Styles at number four, he better be pretty darn special too.
Because of who your coach is, then it's going to be like, okay, so the next Fred Warner, come on in. Is he that? That's about what – you know, I mean that's a high bar. But even, like, just a little bit below that, that's about what you're going to need if you're going to draft – a linebacker at four.
Well, by the way, Ian just sent along Field Yates from this morning. So Field Yates came out with his mock draft at ESPN. And it's the – it's they flip-flop Reese and Bailey, but it's Mendoza at one. It goes Bailey two to the Jets, Reese to the Cardinals, and Sonny Styles at four to the Titans.
Wow.
That's a lot of momentum there for Sonny Styles.
I got to say, if they don't go Love and they don't get one of those edges, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
It's not a scenario I'm in love with. And even though Sonny Styles, I think, is going to end up being a great player in the NFL. So it's not the worst thing. But if you're not going Bailey or Reese there at number four, I'd have a hard time passing up Love at that front.
How about Spencer Fano from Utah? We haven't talked about that enough lately.
Where's he going in Field Yates' mock draft? Let's see.
Nick's got him 5 to the Giants.
He's going 14 to Baltimore.
Okay. And Maui Goa, I assume, is his top tackle out of Miami. Yeah.
He's at number 11 to Miami.
Okay.
Yeah. So just staying home.
Field Yates does not like offensive tackles, is what I've learned today.
Doesn't have any of them going. Yeah, there we go. Doesn't have any of them going in the top 10. The receiver part of this is going to be interesting. Like, where does Carnell Tate end up going at that point? So Yates has got him at 6 to the Browns. But is Tate. You know, where does he end up? Is the second receiver Tyson, or is it end up being your boy Malachi Lemon? Like, that part of it's going to be Malachi.
Mekhi
Lemon. Not Malachi Lemon.
It's a lot of disrespect
Lemon.
For my
I'm
guy.
Sorry. But, I guess Field Yates thinks there's just a big gap because he's got Lemon at 16. He's got Tyson going at number 9. So,
I mean,
a lot of Mekhi Lemon disrespect, too.
I love this. Comparing mock drafts, I mean, Nick's got Mekhi going all the way down to 21 to the Steelers.
What's going on around here?
I don't know, man. I think that's
you'll be clamoring
crazy.
For the Titans to trade back up into the first round.
I think that's crazy talk. So, by the way, we should compare Reuben Baines then because Nick has him 8 to the Dolphins.
I believe that Field Yates has Reuben Baines 8 to the Saints. There you go.
Or did I just say Dolphins?
Yeah,
I said,
Saints.
Yeah, Saints. So same place.
Exactly the same there.
I'm telling you, like, if it really was a Mendoza, Reese, Bailey, whatever combination, and Reese and Bailey go 2-3 in whatever combination it is, to me, then you reopen the Reuben Baines discussion.
Let the record show I'm out on Baines.
You're out? Okay.
At 4. Trade down, then maybe.
You're a short arm hater.
I am.
That's fine.
I'm out on Baines at 4.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think I might have to reconsider there a little bit. But, you know, Sonny Styles is – I don't know. Either way, if they address the defense there and let Love go, I think there's a fair amount of the fan base that would be upset about that. And I understand it. We have spent a lot of time not just complaining about how bad they are in recent years, but also how boring they are.
Yeah.
And so they would be basically signing up to needing to win games 19-17 and 21-17 and whatnot. But winning is I would argue that if you have a great defense, I don't know that this would make a great defense, but it gives you the possibility moving forward.
Yeah.
There is entertainment value in that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on the NFL draft. What do you make of the idea of Sonny Styles at number 4 for the Titans? More of your thoughts on that to get to. By the way, the early returns on that don't seem to be very exciting for Titans fans. We'll continue that discussion. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Okay, so let's talk about teams, right? Because there's everybody out here wants to know where you're going to go. You know, you got two teammates. Or you got a former teammate in Cam Ward. That's with the Titans. I heard Jeffrey Simmons campaigning for you. What would you think about the Titans, or where do you kind of picture yourself?
Well, first, anywhere I go, it's a blessing, lifelong dream come true for me. About the play with Cam again and Jeffrey Simmons and JFM with those caliber guys, it'd be nothing short of a blessing, just an opportunity where I could come in and try to earn their trust and earn the coach's trust and show from day one I'm here to help. here to help, man. I'm here to get us to go to the Super Bowl, and that's all I want to do. I want to win wherever I go. I feel like I got the kind of mentality and the skill set to do it, and I would love to just earn those guys' trust and show it to them, because Cam always tell me, every time you see me, he's saying, we coming to get you, man. So hopefully, his word hold up, and wherever I go, I'm going to just give my all to that program.
Man, that would be fun. I'll tell you what, talking to coaches, scouts here, they all raved about you. They said, I don't care what people say about length or height. They said the power shows up. The ball shows up.
Yeah, man, like Mike Tyson, he wasn't the most tallest. He wasn't the tallest guy, or wasn't the longest limb guy, but when you felt him, you felt him. And you wish you kept your distance.
That's Reuben Bain with a friend of the show, Cam Wolf.
In your face, Robbie. You don't want Mike Tyson? Okay.
Not to play football.
You want that tomato can in the Nintendo game with the long arms? Mike Tyson kicked the crap out of that guy.
It's true. Our football coverage here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Locally brewed, community-driven, Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A lot of different reaction to Sonny Styles as potentially a number four pick for the Titans. People don't seem to be a huge fan of that. People talking about the offense versus defense thing on the YouTube chat. Ultra BMW saying, hey, it's 2026, it's not 2000. Let's go get some offense here. I will say, as my response was, did you see Seattle in the Super Bowl? You know, Kenneth Walker was great, and Sam Darnold's a great story. But the story of the Super Bowl for the Seahawks, the game itself, was the fact that the Patriots couldn't get past the 50-yard line in the game.
Yeah, I think in these discussions, and it's happening here again, I think some people miss how much of a friend to a quarterback a great defense is. Yeah, I understand it's not directly helping. He's on the field. You know, I agree, like, Cam Ward needs better protection. I agree, Cam Ward needs better players around him. But a great defense is a very, very close friend to a quarterback. Young, old, middle-aged quarterback, doesn't matter. So you want to do both things. But ultimately, when you're in these situations where you have these rare opportunities to pick this high in the draft, you just have to get the best player. You just have to. And you have to do it again and again and make a lot of other good choices, and you have to address both sides of the ball. So, I mean, if they get to the point, you know, if they get to the point where they're terrorizing quarterbacks and they are a really good defense, again, the pressure on the offense is immediately lessened. You know, situations are different for you. You are not sitting there for two-thirds of a game having to throw, and everybody knows what you're doing, and they're pinning their ears back and coming after your quarterback because you're down double figures. No, because your defense has held the other team down, and that, again, that opens up your playbook, just like, you know, being in a favorable, you know, third and two as opposed to third and seven. I mean, it all works together.
Drew says that he'd rather suck for one more year in order to guarantee that they get Jeremiah Smith. He said, I'm talking 0-17, lose every game by one, competitive but still suck. I'm here to tell you, if you're 0-17, regardless of what it looks like, the conversation is not going to be about Jeremiah Smith next year. It's going to be about what quarterback do you need to draft in your first round pick.
That's true. So maybe you should have, like, tried to, like, not address the defense at all so Cam Ward could have a good year but still lose every game. But too late. You blew it.
Yep, too late on that front. No, like, I just think, look, I understand Jeremiah Smith's going to be in the next draft. If you're a Titans fan, you've been bad enough for long enough now. Let's start to show a little progress here. Let's start to win some games. And I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs next year or anything, but you're talking about back-to-back seasons of a three-win football team. It, you know, with what we think has been a pretty competent offseason to this point, given the roster moves that they've made, and then we'll see what they end up doing in the draft. If there's not significant improvement, and I'm talking, you know, get to six wins, get to seven wins. It's not that hard in the NFL. If you can't do that next year, we got a big problem. Like, I'm sorry. We got a huge problem if we can't do that next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, think of the fans, you know. Al here, season ticket holder, what, day one at Nissan? Okay. Going to be in the new stadium too. Think of us. We don't want to sit here through another three-win season about that. It's just it's enough already. I mean, I understand. It will be fascinating. Like, is Jeremiah Smith, like, is he going to be, like, the clear number one pick next
year. No, it's going to be a quarterback.
That's what's interesting. You may be right, but I don't know. I mean, again, it depends on what team is in there, right? Like, I mean, it is possible, like one of the, it is possible the top pick is a team with a quarterback.
It's very unlikely, but it is possible.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. But as a non-quarterback, I can't think of too many in recent drafts where there was like such a a consensus dominant player.
Yeah.
That people would actually mortgage their future to get that guy. It's not going to be the Titans.
It's going to be Arch.
Yeah, it could be.
Start all that up again.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I think he'll be a first rounder next year. But yeah, like everybody, I hope everybody saw. Like, yeah, you know, there's flaws, and also he could be really good. We'll see.
Cameron says we can't take Reuben Bain during the season. People focused on him because he's a good pass rusher on a legacy team that plays on national TV constantly. As more information comes out, you can't take him. He's a mid first rounder. This from Cameron on the text line. Totally off the Reuben Bain train.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's probably where he's going to go, you know. Top 10-ish, late top 10, something like that. I understand the criticism and the history. I also watch enough of him and you can talk yourself into, I don't care. Put him on the field.
Sure.
He's going to wreck games. We'll see. I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald. Not at all. It doesn't compare. But the point is, like, Aaron Donald went where? I don't know. I mean, like, and then he just goes out there and he just can't be blocked. And I think Reuben Bain might have a little bit of that in him. But
greatest football player of all time went in the sixth round. It's Tom Brady. He's out there playing again this weekend in flag football.
Is he?
Yeah, he was.
Interesting. He's the greatest football player of all time.
Certainly the greatest AFC East football.
There you go. We can all agree on that.
Hey, you look pretty good out there, flag football.
Right, now, he's the greatest AFC East quarterback. Bruce Smith is great AFC East football player.
Okay.
For the record.
All right.
Bruce Smith.
Just throw that out there. I got another texter that says, no way you're doing Sonny Styles at four. If four doesn't have – Bailey or Reese, you have to go Love at that point. That seems to be a lot of people that have said that. We'll see on that front. Keith says, I keep telling myself whether it's Love or one of the edge rushers, either way, we get a major upgrade at a position. I shouldn't be upset if they don't pick who I think they should pick. A level-headed take from Keith.
I think that's a very good way to look at it. You know, again, we were talking with Al during the break. It's like one is I'm a huge believer in BPA. Especially when you're a bad franchise and you pick that high, like
that's best player available.
Thank you. And so, there's some information on Indy that would suggest that that's what they think of Love.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Then I don't know how you exactly measure everything with a formula, but part of the formula does have to be, you know, the positional value. I mean, that has to be part of the formula. So you factor that in. Does that close the gap if you're looking at a Bailey or a Love? You know, I don't know. I think that's interesting. Also, it seems like there's momentum right now of the idea that Bailey's not going to be there for them,
yeah.
Which would be unfortunate.
That would
I
be.
Guess it would at least it would eliminate the if there is a dilemma. I think there's a dilemma in the fan base and with us on that. It would make it simple, right?
I'd take the dilemma.
Yeah. I'd take Bailey.
Yeah.
I'd take Bailey.
Yeah, I would,
you know,
too.
But I don't know. He may well be gone because it's so hard to find. If you have a guy that you really think he's just going to be a consistent double-digit sacker, man, they just aren't easy to find at all. And I'm not saying great running backs or great players of any position are easy to find, but –
some are easier than others.
Yeah, like they have Tony Pollard, and if that's their running back next year, that's okay. They could be better, but it's okay. But you know you can go elsewhere. You can find running backs in a lot of different ways. It's just how it is in this league.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up here in just a few minutes. Right now we head to our phone line and welcome in our friend Ryan Shumpert to the program from Rocky Top Insider. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome, man.
Great.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Ryan, you know, this is a sixth seed for the Vols. It's the lowest they've been under Rick Barnes. And yet here they are again in the Sweet 16, taking down Miami of Ohio and Virginia over the weekend. So when you watch it all unfold, how do you kind of put into scope the accomplishment for this group under Rick Barnes punching their ticket to yet another Sweet 16?
Yeah, I think it's sort of what I felt like this team was going to be all year, where to me it felt like they would get to the round of 32 and they would kind of play a toss-up game that could have gone either way. Now, I thought Tennessee would be a 5 or a 4 seed. They end up being a 6, but still a one-point favorite over Virginia, and certainly that game could have gone either way. And I think that it speaks to Rick Barnes, the way he's built this program, that in a down year, that they were able to still get to the second weekend of the tournament. And now it kind of feels like they go to Chicago with a little bit of house money to see if they can make something happen there. If my research was correct, first time that a Rick Barnes coach team has won in the NCAA tournament as the lower seed since 2002. Wow. So not only something that hasn't happened in his tenure at Tennessee, but something that has been a long time in his career, since it's last happened. So accomplishment for him. And now we'll see if Tennessee can pick up a couple more of those wins and road jerseys in Chicago.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, Ryan, about Rick, because 4 years ago, they lose that game to Michigan with a team that, that team with Kenny Chandler, I thought that they had a chance to really make a run. And you lose that game, and at that point, it's like, the Oregon State game had happened the year before that, and it's just like, man, like his overall track record at that point in the NCAA tournament was just just significantly below like the overall quality of his teams. But now you're talking four straight Sweet 16s. I think you're the tweet I saw first with Houston, Bama, Tennessee, the only three programs to have that, two straight Elite Eights. How much has he done here in these 4 years to kind of just change that narrative?
Yeah, he's done a ton. I mean, I think there's always going to be people that will hold out and say that he can't win the tournament until he makes the Final Four. But, anyone that is looking at it with any sort of even keel brain, I think would say that narrative is mostly over. To make the Sweet 16 four straight seasons, two Elite Eight runs in there. And, obviously the teams the previous 2 years were really good. It would have been a big disappointment if they didn't make the Sweet 16. The team in 2023, they were underdogs in that round of 32 game against Duke. At that point in the season, I think Duke had won 11 of 12, was a very popular Final Four pick. And certainly this year's team has been in and out of the top 25 all year, really limped into the finish line into the tournament. So it's been two teams that I don't think a ton of Tennessee fans would have predicted to make the Sweet 16 going into the tournament. So, again, he's going to have his naysayers, his critics, until he can make that Final Four at Tennessee. But I think for my view, he's really changed my perception of how he performs in the NCAA tournament with this last four-year stretch.
So, Ryan, we know that Nate Amet has been battling through injury. It was an interesting weekend from him with not much going on in the Miami game, and then some big plays from him against Virginia. So, I guess starting, how healthy do you think he is right now, and what are they going to need from him specifically against Iowa State coming up, which has looked pretty good so far in this tournament, to say the least?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think he's all that close to 100%, to be honest. I think it would be tough for me to say for sure on a percentage, but maybe in like the 80% range, 75% range. It's clear that he's not quite as quick. I think that's shown up on defense as much as anything else. And there's been a number of moments in the four games since he's come back where he takes a fall and he's grimacing and slow to get up. So as far as what we're going to need from him, a pretty good bit in this game. Iowa State is just so fantastic defensively that it's going to be hard for Tennessee to have to put everything on Jacoby Gillespie. Just trying to take care of the basketball against Iowa State is going to be a big challenge for Gillespie. So Tennessee needs, you know, almost kind of like what he did against Virginia. I didn't think he was just great, but the fact that he was able to, you know, kind of grit things out and play 30 minutes and score 16 points, just be an offensive option for them that could score enough to make Virginia, and now in this case going forward, Iowa State, respect him. I think that's what they need. I think it's maybe not impossible, but probably unrealistic to expect him to get back to these 25-point performances that he was having somewhat routinely in SEC play because of the injury now, but it can't be like it was against Miami where, you know, he doesn't score and you know, is hardly really looking for a shot. He's got to be out there hunting a shot and making Iowa State feel his presence.
Yeah, I agree, Ryan, and I don't necessarily love the matchup for them just because they do get a little loose with the ball, and as anybody who watched that Iowa State-Kentucky game can attest, I mean, Iowa State will just take it from you. But at the same time, I think there's some matchups that if they can take care of the ball that they can take advantage of. I also feel like you got to have at least one other guy scoring. And in the last game, you had – I thought J.P. Estrella had some big moments, especially I think when it was tied, he just went in there in the post, took his time. You know, the double was coming. He just went baseline, hit that little shot. That was a huge moment, I thought. But then Bishop Boswell hitting four threes. What can you? Do you think you can count? Are those the two guys, that most likely to be counted on to support, you know, Gillespie and Amen in terms of providing offense?
I think JP is for sure. And Bishop, I don't know how replicable what he did was on the offensive end, at least from the hitting four threes. I mean, he'd only hit his previous career high was two made threes in a game. So for him to come out and hit three in the first 15 minutes and four in the game, you know, some of what he did, what they need him to, was replicable in what he did was have nine assists and not turn the ball over. You know, that's going to be the huge challenge, as you kind of said. Can he handle the ball and let Tennessee play Jacoby Gillespie off ball and run off 10 down screens and stuff like that to get open shots? Because that would go a long way. But as far as scoring, I think it's got to be J.P. Estrella. He can't pick up those silly fouls. I mean, he gets two fouls in the first 5 minutes of the game on Sunday, and the second one was just so unnecessary and so silly. But he's that guy. You know, maybe Jalen Carey stepped up in that Virginia game. You know, maybe that's possible again. I wouldn't really bank on it. But JP is by far, in my opinion, the third most talented offensive player on this team. And he's been the guy that's shown the ability, while inconsistently, to step up as a third scorer. I think he's the guy Tennessee needs to do that on Friday night.
So, obviously, whoever, you know, I knowing how Rick Barnes looks at defense, I have no doubt in my mind that Momcilovic from Iowa State is going to be probably top of the. I mean, like, you can't let him have a centimeter, or it's down. It's over. He's an incredible shooter, maybe the best shooter in college basketball. I have no doubt that whatever they do there, that's like that. You start there. He can't breathe. But if Joshua Jefferson is back for Iowa State, I really find that interesting matchup, because I wonder if. I mean, that's one of the problems. Tennessee goes big a lot, and really a lot of these top teams do, but Jefferson is a little bit more of like that kind of stretch four that used to be more prevalent in college basketball. Who is the best defensive matchup for him, do you think, on this Tennessee team?
Well, I think we just got a sneak peek of it with Testa Ritter, because it's a very similar skill set. He's not as good as Josh Jefferson is, but a stretch four, and Tennessee really threw Felix Okpara at him for most of the game, and I think that's what they would do. You have J.P. Estrella in this game guard Buchanan down low, a more traditional five. Don't make him guard on the perimeter. Felix, I think, has been somewhat underappreciated defensively this year from maybe the more casual fan, just because he's not racking up a bunch of block shots, but he's not doing that because of these two big lineups. He has to guard on the perimeter, and he's been really, really solid at that, and certainly if Jefferson can go, and if Jefferson's anything close to 100%, that would be his toughest challenge of the year. But to me, that would be the obvious choice to put on him. And then with Monkovich, to me, that's a big deal of how healthy is Nate, because that's kind of what Tennessee's like to put Nate on those wing shooters this year to try to affect him with his length. I just thought he was clearly a step slow defensively over the weekend.
You know, how much would he be able to be effective in that type of matchup of, you know, after 5 days of not playing and hopefully getting that ankle and feeling as good as it possibly can.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch and see what Tennessee has for Iowa State coming up in the tournament. It's been fun to watch so far. Another Sweet 16 for Rick Barnes and company. Ryan, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, sounds great. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Ryan Shumpert, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from Rocky Top Insider, does an outstanding job covering the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. A big game between the Predators and the Sharks coming up tonight that we'll get back into in the 8 o'clock hour. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I mean, I need you to get mad about this.
Hey, fart you, loser.
Fart you, I won't do what you tell me.
Derek, I hope you're not mad at me.
You're the one that's saying it's Terry.
Mango Terry? Put it in reverse, Terry.
I guess maybe he is dumb.
It is that time of the day. It's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the show. Joe Rex Road, your rant begins now.
Listen, I just want you to know right now, like, I'm not going to rant. Okay, I know it's called the Rex Rant, but I'm like, really in a public place right here. Yeah, you scream. Yeah, kids over here, and people eating, you know, eating their donuts, drinking their coffee. People trying to work in here. I'm not going to start screaming, okay?
I think you should.
No, I can't do that. But I'm going to gently say that I was a little bit disappointed with Vanderbilt fans last night.
Okay.
I got to say. Now, I was told that and look, I don't want to turn a great night for Vanderbilt, you know, first Sweet 16 in 17 years, into a negative. I can turn just about anything into a negative, though. But I was told Saturday that it was a much better crowd. But, I mean, it was – they made noise. The fans who came, great. Great job. Great job showing up. I just – and, again, I'm not just talking Marymount fans either. I'm talking, like, general, like – I understand it's a Monday night. It's a Monday night at 6 o'clock. Like, you have a chance to watch Michaela Blake play basketball. I'm telling you, people. You got, I think, 2 years left after this. I think. I mean, she could go after next year. She'd be the number one pick. She will be the number one pick in the WNBA draft if she goes. Like, that's what she is. Don't miss opportunities. You know, our friend TD has become, like, you know, super fan. I didn't see him out there, but I think he was out there last night. But, you know, and he goes whenever he can now. And there's team success and rooting for your school and supporting a local team, all that stuff. And then there's, like, again, don't miss the chance to watch this player play, because it is not normal. It is extraordinary. And, yeah, I was disappointed to me in what I expected the turnout to be. I mean, actually, we had a text – I think yesterday, I could probably try to find it, but I probably should have done that earlier. But it was basically someone who I think is a Vanderbilt fan complaining about basically, like, our fan base sucks. You know, I don't think that's fair. I mean, some of that was about, like, the Nebraska thing. I mean, look, Nebraska fans decided to take over that place long ago, and they did. And I mean, Vanderbilt had as many fans as Houston did.
Yeah.
And anybody else there, everybody had their little allotment. And then 15,000 of the 18,000 seats were Nebraska fans. Like, that's not a point of criticism. I thought this year at football, I thought you really saw the effect of what Clark Lee, Diego Pavia, and all those guys have done. I think you saw that at the stadium, and First Bank Stadium is now it's a much better place. They've done a great job there. I think you saw, again, for both basketball teams, some really good crowds this year, and some atmospheres and some noise level, you know, that the Memorial Magic stuff came back. Just last night, it's the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's again, it's their chance to get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 17 years. It's 6 o'clock. It's not ridiculously late. Sometimes these NCAA tournament start times can be prohibitive. This wasn't. I mean, like you have time to get there, I think, after work. And basically, the lower was pretty good shape, but, like, anything up above that was very, there was a handful of people here or there. So I know that this is, like, again, I'm turning a really good thing into a complaint. But, yeah, I think that it should be better. I think that this was an opportunity for more people to support this team and, again, to watch her play, because it is – that alone is worth the price of admission. I could also argue that Aubrey Galvin watching her play and some of the stuff she does is worth the price of admission. Those two together, now you've got – again, you got, I think, 2 years. I think. You definitely have – well, I guess you shouldn't say definitely in college sports.
Not anymore.
Anything anymore. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and give you a 99.9% chance that next year you're going to get to watch those two kids play for a team, and we'll see what all else happens. But, I mean, you could be talking about a preseason top five type team and a short list national championship contender. I hope that next year there's just more – realization of that around here and more of that showing up in the stands, because it is every bit worth it. So
well, there's my little what kind of guy were we talking about yesterday?
I actually, that's a good question. Let me see if I have in the game notes what the official attendance. So attendance was 44-40.
Yeah, it needs to be better than that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's just too low for an NCAA tournament game. With a team that's been ranked all year, with a team that, has a chance to set the program wins record and all that. And I understand that things were different in Nashville than they were, like, when Vanderbilt was going to the Final Four 30-plus years ago. Like, there's a million more things to do, all that stuff. But there's also more people. And I think there's enough Vanderbilt alums, fans, for a game like that last night to have more than 4,400 people.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'll be the turd in the punch bowl, but gently, because I don't want to. In fact, this rant has – I've, like, cleared the entire place out. I'm sorry. Maybe I should have yelled, come back! I command! I don't know. Sorry.
They got stuff going on outside. It's not just you.
Okay. They got a little bounce house going on
out
there?
They got a lot of stuff going on out there.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay. So anyway, there's my spiel. I'm sorry.
Any other fans you'd like to take a swipe at while we're here?
Preds
fans, and let me tell you something else.
Yeah, like
Titans fans, why haven't you paid more money the last 2 years to watch this team?
Yeah, like I try to, like, really support the fans when their teams stink, and it's like I feel bad for them. They shouldn't be forced to do anything. Like, but when your team's awesome,
that's true.
Show
it's
up.
The opposite. Yeah,
please show up.
So is your Vandy Joe title about to be revoked, or is this, like, technically you could make the argument this is strengthening Vandy Joe title.
I mean, you could argue that I'm doing marketing for them, free marketing for them, It's too late. The game already happened, but I can complain about it afterward.
Some late marketing coming in from Rex Road after the game has been played.
Some retrospective marketing. That's smart, right?
In all seriousness, we talked about this earlier. Going to be really interesting to see the type of run that they can put together here. I mean, those four teams that we've talked about that are the 4-1 seeds in this tournament. Obviously, the title's probably going through one of them. But this and if you're Vanderbilt, you're going to have to beat probably, I guess at this point, three of them, two of them to get there. So, that's a tough task. But, if it ends up being Vanderbilt and UConn in the Elite Eight, that'd be a pretty sweet matchup right there. I'm looking forward to it already. I'm bypassing Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, Hannah Hidalgo, I mean, it's
I know, they're
be a
good
game, but yeah, I think they have a good chance to win. Billy from Bellevue says, you can't force people to want to watch women's basketball. Also, I had no idea the game was even being played. Terrible marketing from Andy. Well, look, I mean, Billy, if you don't like that sport, that's fine. I promise you there are enough people who do that you can have a better crowd than that.
Yeah.
And,
well, they've had better crowds than that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Liam says, as much as I love my school, my teams, and all the success Candace Orly has helped bring us, 99 out of 100, I'm going to watch a game from the comfort of my couch where I can actually see instead of the second or third level of Memorial. I'll find other ways to support them. Well, okay. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I think you probably could have gotten to the lower level too last night. Okay?
There were seats available. Your way on down.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Rex rant for today. Got the Preds and the Sharks coming up tonight at Bridgestone Arena in a massive game. We will get into that. coming up next. We are out here all morning long at Duncan, 1306 Murfreesboro Road. It's the grand opening celebration event at 9:30. There's going to be a ribbon cutting ceremony that takes place to celebrate the opening of this location. Again, 1306 Murfreesboro Road. So come on out here. They're giving away free coffee. There's all kinds of stuff going on out here. So come on out. We got a line outside. There's bounce houses. There's giveaways. Cuppies out here, the Duncan mascot. So 1306 Murfreesboro Road in Franklin. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.